You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Over the past calendar year, there have been about 2 million people come across the border illegally from more than 150 different countries across the entire globe, including, Maria, people coming from terrorist-based nations. We have a president who's not protecting us from national security by allowing people from terrorist-based nations come across our border.
Little bit of information they're getting at this point as to how many are coming across our border, where they're going, what they're bringing, and we know many are coming from various countries, and we're not vetting them. I know we've been down this road before, but we're going to do it again. This is January 31, 2022. We are live broadcasting on YouTube channel, Larry Connors USA YouTube channel as well, if you want to watch in addition to listening. Governor Abbott making the point that we continue to let these border crossers in and we're not doing anything to vet them. We do know that many are coming from countries that are not from the triangle, the Central Triangle of Central America. Honduras, Nicaragua, and so forth, and Mexico City, and even nearby other countries. We know they're coming in from Europe. We know they're coming in from the Middle East. We have no border on our southern states. And it's not just that they're crossing at the southern border. Our government is helping them get deeper into the interior, often without checking to see if they even carry COVID. They don't seem to care about illegals with COVID. Mandating you had to be vaccinated, documented, so forth. Masked. They don't care about them. You have to have an ID to vote or do anything else or to get on a plane. They don't. I had a friend yesterday say, well, this is going to be interesting. See how this works out. He was trying to fly from Scottsdale back to St. Louis, and said, I have lost my wallet. There's my ID and everything. I'm going to have to see how this goes with TSA. I haven't heard back from him. I started to say, just declare you're an illegal. They'll let you on. We're going to get into that. And, of course, the border there is one big issue. The Ukraine border, obviously, still very big, and Putin is not at all worried about Biden. And President Xi of China is also beginning to watch how this plays out. He's gaming up, getting ready for a run at Biden, another test against him. Now, some say we should not be concerned so much about the Ukraine border. The Democrats certainly are, but they are ignoring our southern border. I say we can be concerned about both, and we're going to get into both for you. Also, Senator Dick Durbin, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Durbin of Illinois, talking about Biden declaring that he's going to nominate a black woman for the Supreme Court, specifically going to nominate a black woman, just as he was told when he was running, you better put a black woman on your ticket or you're not going to be elected, which he did. And, of course, many are decrying the fact you're going to nominate just a black woman. You're not going to look for qualifications beyond that race and gender. But Durbin's going to point out Reagan and even Trump made gender race declarations about appointments to judgeships. They did. But I'm also going to tell you how many of the Democrats voted against the Trump black woman because she was nominated by Trump. They didn't care about her reputation beyond that. But Durbin is now saying, I really hope opponents won't be involved in personal attacks against the nominee, whoever it is. In other words, you don't want us to play as the Democrats did. Is that what you're saying? You want us to be nice? Well, you were so nasty. We're going to take a closer look at some of the information in the Schweitzer book, Red Handed. This is not just a book about possible crime, bribery, and kickback. It goes much, much deeper. We'll get into that. Also, you've got a Democrat who's absolutely angry, so angry he went to Fox News and say, I'm fed up with Democrats. And then there's an actress upset because they shut down part of Manhattan for the police officer's funeral. I got some words for that woman. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we are on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Happy girl taught me those things a young man should know.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
For a black woman to become a Supreme Court justice would be one of the most historical, important things that this country and this nation can do and experience. It's just so exciting to think about it. I guess, what is it, over 260 years? We've never even had a black woman nominated, and there are only two blacks, you know, males, on the Supreme Court. To have a black woman there will be a game changer.
The words of Congresswoman Maxine Waters and Democrat Ali California, and pointing out how historic it would be to have a black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, she's right about when you talk about history. And you heard her mention only two black men on the court. There is only one now. She's talking about Thurgood Marshall previously. But there's a poll out. Some ABC News Ipsos poll, 76% of those questioned said we would like to see Biden choose a candidate for the Supreme Court based on qualifications, not race, not gender, on qualifications. Biden had said, I'm going to put a black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court, and I'll have my answer of who I'm going to nominate by the end of February. He's got about 10 to 12 black women that have come to the top of the list, apparently. They're all qualified in various ways. What kind of baggage some have, we have yet to find out. That's where you start your investigation. And I'm sure the White House is actively doing that as well, because they want to make sure they're not going to nominate someone that's got a past that's going to have to be defended dramatically. And, of course, as you heard me say in the opening monologue, Senator Dick Durbin out of Illinois is hoping that the Republicans are going to play nice. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. There is backlash already, and not just from Republicans, but Democrats as well. Why would you come out and say, I'm going to appoint a black woman, unless you're obviously courting favor, trying to anyway? Why don't you just say, I want to pick a qualified candidate? And, of course, most of the opposition for that remark comes from Republican side. Well, Senator Dick Durbin, who will be heading up the Senate Judiciary Committee on the questioning of the nominees, has an answer for you, Republicans.
I remind them to take a look back at history and recall that it was Ronald Reagan who announced that he was going to appoint a woman to the Supreme Court, and he did, Sandra Day O'Connor, and it was Donald Trump who announced that he was going to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg with a woman nominee as well. So this is not the first time that a president has signaled what they're looking for in a nominee.
No, it's not. It's not. So I wanted to make sure you heard that. Reagan and Trump. Reference Trump, as I was saying again in the opening monologue, and it bears repeating again, because here's Dick Durbin saying, let's all play nice. You know the Democrats were not playing nice at any step of any nomination that Trump put forward. You know that. You remember it. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett. Well, when Trump proposed a black woman for a federal court position, and that has to be a nominated by the president, and then has to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. I want to say 11, I've lost the exact number here, I want to say 11 Democrats voted against her. Not referenced qualifications. And they were voting against a black woman that could have been one of the first to go in the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, that was not nominated for the Supreme Court, but could have worked up that position. But they did not even want this woman to become a justice at all because she was appointed by Trump. You see how deep this anger and this angst goes? Here it is. I want to make sure I had it right. It was Ada E. Brown, a black woman confirmed by an 80-13 vote. 13 nays from Democrats Schumer, Baldwin, Blumenthal, Brown, Cantwell, Musto, Gilbrand, Mazzarano, who's all excited about a black woman being on there, Ed Markey, Patty Murray, Shates, Stabenow, Ron Wyden. Only two of the 13 senators who voted against her confirmation even bothered to make a response. And one of them said, well, at the time, just didn't think she was proper. No, they had nothing to do with the qualifications for a position to serve as a district judge of the Northern District of Texas. It was because Trump nominated her. Durbin's right. Trump said, I'm going to nominate a woman to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which he did. So he was already set in his mind, I'm going to select a woman. Didn't say what color, a woman. But obviously that cuts out males, even no bother to apply. And now with this push again now for the U.S. Supreme Court that this is what they're going to do, and Biden's already announced, this is exactly what I want to do. Well, you've got Senator Wicker, who is watching all this play out. And Senator Wicker said, when you see how they want to push forward and make this basically a direct statement that you must have a black woman, Senator Wicker, who's a Republican of Mississippi, said it's really ironic.
The irony is that the Supreme Court is at the very same time hearing cases about this sort of affirmative racial discrimination.
Yes.
And while adding someone who is the beneficiary of of this sort of quote. The majority of the court may be saying writ large it's unconstitutional. We'll see how that irony works out.
Yeah, we'll see how that irony works out. And as I said, it is not just – well, before that, I want Congresswoman Maxine Waters to have a chance to respond to the fact that Senator Wicker said this just kind of an irony here, and that the fact that the host interviewing him kind of laughed, and the reaction from Maxine Waters, predictable.
Well, you know, it's so disrespectful. And actually, the way that he's coming out after it is outdated. I think even the most conservative members of the Supreme Court and Republicans know that it is beyond time to diversify the Supreme Court of America. And the absence of a woman, a black woman, means that it is not diversified, and you don't have at the table the voices of everyone in this country that should be represented. And so it's disrespectful, it's dishonorable, and we're going to have to get past that.
Yeah, she's right on all those points. We also need a transgender on the U.S. Supreme Court, don't we? We need a Buddhist. We need an American Indian, which we don't have in the U.S. Supreme Court. You won't go down that list like that. And it's not just Republicans making no noise over it. And yes, you're right. Well, Trump said he was going to nominate a woman, which he did. Reagan said, I'm going to appoint a woman, which he did. It still doesn't make it right to simply say you're only going to be considered if you meet this standard of gender or race. And a lot of Democrats have the same concern. Let me share one of them with you here. Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat presidential candidate, she's criticizing Biden for promising to select a Supreme Court nominee who's a black woman. She says such a move is harmful identity politics. That's from Tulsi Gabbard, who is a Democrat presidential nominee, or trying to be anyway. She said Biden chose Harris as his VP because of the color of her skin and sex. I think she really meant gender, but it was her words. She chose Biden chose Harris as his VP because of the color of her skin and sex, not qualifications. She's been a disaster. Quote, Tulsi Gabbard. Then she adds, now he promises to choose Supreme Court nominee on the same criteria. Identity politics is destroying our country. Wow. Of course, progressives love all of this. Don't forget, yeah, you don't have just the Republicans, conservatives, and independents, and Democrats. You have the progressives, the ones that told Biden, if you're going to get elected president, you got to put a black woman on that ticket. Looking around, who's available? Well, she was in the running, but she got pushed out of the race, but I'll bring her back in. And she called me a racist, basically, but I'll let her back in, and we'll be friends. And so he picked Harris. But what really gets me is how Senator Durbin is already trying to set the stage. After what we saw and how they treated Brett Kavanaugh, remember bringing the professor out of California? And there was so much still to this date, and I quit looking at it. I cared less, but did this woman really volunteer to come forward, or did she say she didn't want to and they coerced her, or the Democrats saying, we really need you, you got to help us stop Trump from putting Kavanaugh on the bench? This woman was one of those supposedly claiming that Kavanaugh was involved in a chain sex event while he was in college, boozing women up, getting them drunk. Never any proof. Woman couldn't even remember the date in the house or anything else, really, when it came down to it. But it didn't make any difference. And the Democrats would lay it out and go after it like hounds on red meat. Even with Kavanaugh's wife and two children sitting in the chamber watching, supposedly, a Senate confirmation, not a Senate demolition and destruction of a man and his family. But now, Durbin is saying, oh, listen, whoever Biden ends up selecting, we hope the Republicans will play nice.
And I would just say the bottom line is this, in terms of African-American women. If they have achieved the level of success in practice of law and jurisprudence, they've done it against great odds. They're extraordinary people, usually the first of anything in the United States turns out to be extraordinary in their background, and the same is true there. They're all going to face the same close scrutiny. This is a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land, and I just hope that those who are critical of the president's selection aren't doing it for personal reasons.
Yeah, let's don't have any personal reasons in it. That's what it was all about when it came to going against Trump, all personal. Senator Marshall Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, says this is really what we want on the court. It has nothing to do with gender. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with what is needed as a U.S. Supreme Court justice.
Our duty is to make certain that we have constitutionalists that go to the bench, people that are going to be fair, that are going to uphold that Constitution and the rule of law, and Trey, to be certain that we do not put people on the Supreme Court or the federal bench who are going to be activist judges and are going to make rulings the way they would like to see things be, rather than making rulings based on the rule of law.
A rule of law. That's what we're trying to reach and stay with. Every judge has certain baggage they bring forward in prior cases and so forth, but when it comes down to it, do what is right. Yeah, the ACLU, I was reading some quotes from him today. He's upset over the ACLU suddenly trying to stop someone with free speech. He said, that's what we're all about. Doesn't make any difference if you agree with them or not. Let me break that story down for you when we continue, because it's a perfect example of rule of law, Constitution, despite your personal belief. Stand by, please.
Drinking dog whiskey and telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey and telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Some of you might be old enough to recall or have vague recollection, and maybe you were involved if you're in the Illinois area, Skokie, Illinois, back in 1977. The Nazis were going to march. They wanted to march in Skokie, Illinois in 1977. The ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, rushed up to defend their right to do so. The director of the ACLU during that time, and the one credited with expanding its operations to national powerhouse, is Ira Glaser. And he says, I'm watching what is happening now with the ACLU. We're not living up to our values. He said, I did defend the right for the group of Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois. He said, I struggled with it personally, representing a group known for, David Goldberg, I should say, one of them involved, said, I struggled with representing a group known for hatred and bigotry, but Skokie's laws were the issue at stake, a law that the town had used to deny Jewish war veterans a permit to march as well. So David Goldberg led it for the ACLU while under the leadership of Ira Glaser. And Glaser is now saying, I'm looking at everything that's been going on and what's happening now. He's looking at some of the ACLU employers that before they take a case defending someone's free speech, they want to make sure the speech does not offend or threaten other civil liberty values. I'll repeat it. The ACLU, deciding before it takes a case now, wants to make sure that your free speech does not offend or threaten other civil liberties values. Galatians said, in other words, before they're going to defend your free speech, they want to see what you had to say. He said, what is the ACLU doing saying something like that? 1964 Supreme Court ruling involving the press, New York Times v. Sullivan, basically found that the threshold for defamation lawsuits established the actual malice standard for public figures, restricting the ability of government officials to sue the press for defamation under the First Amendment. Well, Mark Elias, who's a big top Democrat donor, is saying the press is dangerous. And he thinks the Supreme Court should revisit that landmark defamation ruling of New York Times v. Sullivan, because he's saying if the media is not going to be pro-democracy, then it's probably time for the courts to revisit. The case was premised on a role in democracy that the mainstream press seems increasingly disinterested in playing, he says. Well, of course, you know how they see it. If it's good press for us, that's great. If it's bad for press for us, shut it down. For the most part, Democrats are getting good press because it's state-controlled press, in my view, at this point. When we come back, let's take a closer look at the book called Red-Handed, The Bidens and the Corruption Behind Them. And according to Peter Schweitzer, the author of the book, there's more than just questions about bribery. Please stand by. Still to come.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As we point out in the book, Hunter Biden complained to family members that he was having to send half of his money to Pop, meaning his father. That's money he collected overseas. And there's plenty of evidence of him paying his father's bills while he was vice president of the United States. And all of that money came from foreign sources. So Joe Biden is being deceptive and not honest with the American people when he makes that statement.
Making that statement, well, first of all, that you were listening to Peter Schweitzer, the author of the book Red-Handed, talking about corruption behind the Biden family, specifically Hunter Biden, but also tying into Daddy. We've known that story for some time, at least parts of it, and this is supposedly giving us more details. And, of course, the question has to be, with this kind of leverage, what's at stake? And I say leverage, I'm not talking about just simply the fact that maybe Joe Biden was getting some of the money from some of Hunter Biden's deals, although that's what Schweitzer was referring to at the last, saying Biden's denying that. Well, we know otherwise. He said between emails and everything else, in fact, some emails that Hunter would send to the other members of the family, things like, boy, I hope you can help support the family like I did. And then you don't have to give half of it to me in the process, something of that effect. I don't know if you've read the book or you haven't. I'm sure you've heard about it. It's basically Red-Handed, How American Elites Get Rich Helping China Win. Schweitzer with Breitbart has been on Fox a lot, almost every Fox program that I know of. Jesse Waters primetime the other day as well. And at that point, in part of the interview, he said the worst thing that stands out to me is that every single deal that the Biden family got in China when Joe Biden was vice president was involving an individual who had links to the highest levels of Chinese intel. I'll get back to that in a moment. But he adds this. He said, take the Biden alleged ties to China, the Soviet Union, and imagine for a second, we're talking about the Cold War, an American first family doing deals with businessmen in the Soviet Union tied to the KGB, alarm bells would go off. So that's what we're really talking about here. Well, we have alarm bells been going off for some time. We know directly from the FBI that Congressman Swalwell of California, still serving on a House Intel Committee appointed by Nancy Pelosi, when she knows, according to the FBI, that he had compromising positions, situations, relationships, however you want to describe it, with a Chinese spy. A female Chinese spy who also made a point to go after several other mayors in Midwest cities. Those names have not been released. But Swalwell, she probably got a big bonus out of that one, because Swalwell, she approached when he was just the mayor. See, it doesn't have to start at the top. It's a long game for China, and they're willing to play the long game. Find some politician that looks like they might be a rising star, getting close to them, build a rapport with them, advance with them, and report back. Swalwell has not been charged with any crime other than admitting finally that, yes, he had been told. And as soon as I was told, he said, I broke off relations. There have been some family members on his side that come out and said, well, they didn't completely break off. But I don't care about getting into that right now. I'm just pointing out that why is there concern? Because it's a U.S. congressman on a House Intel Committee who sees a lot of information about intel that others don't. And he does it with the permission of Pelosi, who appointed him and put him there. That's at that level. Now move up into the executive office, the Oval Office. And if Hunter Biden, according to the book Red-Handed, How American Elites Get Rich Helping China, Schweitzer says all of this evidence, this is pointing to more than just a simple bribery story, more than just a simple little kickback scheme, more than just a get-rich scheme. It points to something a lot more threatening to the nation.
People want to think of this as a Hunter Biden problem or just a corruption problem. When you look at the origins of this money, we wanted to look at the deals that Hunter Biden got in China and figure out who opened the door and made those deals happen. And I have to tell you, Maria, of the five deals we know of, every single one of them points to an official in China who has links to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence, meaning the vice minister for state security, who has responsibility for foreign recruitments, the former minister of state security's family himself. The list goes on and on. So this is not just a question anymore of corruption, self-dealing, self-enrichment. You have to start asking the question, China had a concerted effort to, undermine this family. And this family, I would say, we have to.
Well, we lost part of the bite there, but he's just basically saying the family is yet to fully answer. But what he raised is a red flag. Is the president compromised? Is the nation compromised? Obviously, the president has the highest clearance in the land. So if he knows something, and if China were to know it, or Russia, it would benefit them and harm us. Is there an act of treason involved here? I'm not saying Biden is guilty of this. I'm raising the question. And it's a legitimate question. It's raised by the FBI. It's raised by intel agents everywhere, anytime there's any way that someone can be compromised. Members of our space program, when they were being set up for it and overseeing it, and scientists involved in that and so on, they're doing all kinds of background checks, looking for anything that might show some kind of tie or connection that would compromise them to the extent where maybe they would be blackmailed to turn over information, or fear for their family if they didn't. When I was in the Marines, I didn't find out till later, but suddenly neighbors around the neighborhood were calling my parents saying, there's some guys here from, I don't remember if they described them as FBI or what they were at the time, asking questions about your son. And then I don't recall them actually speaking directly to my parents, but apparently they were going back through records and everything else. Why? Well, at the time they were considering, and I didn't know it, they were considering giving me a higher level classification because they're going to use me in some radio communications or something like that with Vietnam, during the Vietnam War. It's a fog to me now, and it was then too, because I didn't learn about it until months later. But that's how deep they go to find out. Now, when you come down to the question of treason, treason actually involves it, according to constitutionally, citizens of the U.S. have allegiance to two political entities, one the U.S., the other their state or local residence. So they can be charged with treason within a state as well. But the key elements necessary for an offense to constitute treason: an obligation of allegiance to the legal order, that'd be your government. That's your obligation, to be allegiant and loyal to them. And then intent and action to violate that obligation. Then you have treason. And treason against the U.S. shall consist, they say, not only in levying war against the U.S. or adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort, but other way, other options are also open. And there is a difference between insurrection and treason. Bottom line being, a group that levies war against a government is guilty of treason. A person who does or says incendiary things which would incite to seize or storm government property, citing an insurrection. That's the definition the Democrats are hanging all of their January 6th nonsense on. They're saying that it's all an effort to overthrow the government. And Pelosi will not call one session to investigate some of the background uncovered by the Schweitzer book. Coming up, a poll that will, I want to see the person that voted this way. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times?
This
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, before I jump into this survey that raises, I mean, this the number itself is staggering. And I want to see the person that voted this way on this survey, an economic survey. I just want that the number of those who agreed with this person and how they voted. I'd like to see them in front of me and ask some direct questions before I get to that. We were talking earlier in the beginning, of course, about the Supreme Court justice that Biden says he's going to nominate. It's going to be a black woman. Already said, I'm going to limit it to a black woman, period. And Senator Dick Durbin has pointed out Reagan did the same thing, referenced putting a woman on the court, which he did, and Trump wanted to put a black woman on, said that he would, which not the Supreme Court, but as a judge. But Trump's got defeated by Democrats who did it just for spite, probably. But I want to show you how some of this context gets twisted so often, so easily. Because for the Democrats, the facts really don't matter unless they fit a particular narrative. Here's a perfect example of the latest example, I should say. The View, ABC's The View. Never seen it. I lift clips from it from time to time, but I would not bring myself to sit down and watch it. If I did, I would be doing it under torture and only for you. And I do a lot of things for you, the listener. I watch and listen to a lot of people. I think, what a bunch of, but I got it. You know, we're going to have to sort it out. So here's Whoopi Goldberg, who's a co-host on, and declares that the Holocaust was not about race. Killing of an estimated 6 million Jews. And she said, but it's not about race. All of her co-hosts were, what? What do you mean it's not about race? It all started when one of the other co-hosts, Anna Navarro, used to be a Republican, now Democrat, now sells herself anywhere to anyone who's going to pay her, mentioned a Florida bill that could prevent any conversation in schools that makes students feel uncomfortable, race or gender. And that prompted another one to ponder teaching students about the Holocaust would be prohibited. That's when Whoopi jumped into the Holocaust isn't about race. They said it's not race. Joy Behar said, well, they consider Jews a different race. Goldberg reiterated, it's not about race. One of the others asked her, what's it about? She says, about man's inhumanity to man. That's all it's about. But it's about one white supremacist group going after Jews and gypsies, according to Navarro. But Whoopi insisting these are two white groups of people. Two white groups. So it's not about race. Whoopi, want to explain that in more detail to victims of the Holocaust and their families? See, what it's going, it's following the old line that you can't be racist if you're black. I say you can be racist if you consider anyone lesser than you because their skin color is different than yours, be it darker or lighter. You're racist if you consider you're superior to anyone who has a different skin color. All right, so here's this ABC News poll. They were questioning, raising question about, what do you think about Joe Biden's economy? Hold back. Let's don't start the laugh track yet. Wait a minute. They were asked to describe the state of the nation's economy these days. 23% said good. Now I want to meet those people, but they're not the ones I'm really after. 47% said not so good. I think I know a lot of them. 28% said poor. Yeah, I understand that. So 28% said poor. 47% said not so good. 23% said it's good. 1% said Joe Biden's economy is excellent. Excellent. Do they know the meaning of the word? Or are they just sitting on their yacht somewhere sipping Mai Tais, and it is excellent for them? Good for them. We can be jealous, but the economy under Biden is excellent? I didn't say just good, excellent. Doggett. Coming up in the next hour, more on the concern about our Ukraine and our southern border crisis. And then those who hate cops come crying because they're not getting the attention they want. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.